The word of God given to us today is Acts 26, 16 to 18. Acts chapter 26, 16 to 18. Allow me to read the word of God. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. People think that the absence of light means darkness. Of course, this is true. Darkness rules where there is no light. But the absence of light does not only mean darkness. The absence of light also leads to dampness. Where there is no light, things turn damp. So in places where light is not shown regularly and darkness sets in, darkness becomes synonymous with dampness. Dampness is dangerous because it can lead to all sorts of viruses spreading. Everything is bound to corrupt away in damp places. The same goes for human hearts. If the light of life and truth is not shown on the human heart, the damp darkness will govern the heart, and eventually it will corrupt away with the viruses of sin and desire. Everyone who ever fell into a moment of self-destruction in the Bible had the damp darkness govern their hearts. The Bible introduces countless examples of people who brought destruction upon oneself after they lost sight due to age or after the sun had set. These stories aren't about the effect of aging on eyesight or the concept of night as opposed to day. These are biblical expressions of how their spiritual sights grew dim and the damp darkness took over their hearts. Isaac was the son of Abraham, the father of faith. The reason Abraham is the father of faith is because his son Isaac was the son of faith. If Isaac was someone far removed from faith, his father Abraham could not have been called the father of faith. When Isaac was 60 years old, his wife Rebekah conceived and was with twin sons. And the Lord said to her, "The older shall serve the younger." The Lord was telling her that he was going to raise his people not through Esau, the first of the twins, but through Jacob, the younger brother. The Lord was granting his legitimacy to Jacob, the younger brother. As years went by, Isaac began to favor his older son, Esau. The reason was that while Jacob was quiet and stayed dwelling in the tents, Esau was a skillful hunter. He went out to the field and provided game to his father. One day, Isaac tells his older son to go out to the field and hunt game for him and prepare for him delicious food. Once Esau brought him the food, Isaac was going to eat it so that his soul may bless Esau with the legitimacy of God. However, Isaac's wife, Rebekah, in order to stop her husband from going against God's words that the older shall serve the younger, tells Jacob, the younger son, to pretend to be Esau and get Isaac's blessing instead. With this, Esau, the older brother, and Jacob, the younger brother, become enemies. Jacob goes away from his family for 20 years to flee from his brother who plans to kill him. He goes to live with his mother's relatives for 20 years. When Isaac, the father of the household, acted imprudently against God's words, his entire household, once peaceful, was thrown into turmoil. The Bible tells us the reason why Isaac, the son of faith, made such an absurd mistake. In Genesis 27:1, it says, "When Isaac was old, his eyes were dim so that he could not see." As Isaac grew old, his spiritual eyes for God grew dim. Thus, the damp darkness governed his heart, and it became corrupt with the virus of gluttony. Isaac foolishly traded in God's words with a gluttonous desire to fill his stomach with meat. With this, his peaceful household was thrown into turmoil. Eli the priest had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who acted superciliously and abused their father's authority as priest. They were snatching meat that should be offered in sacrifice. They lay with the women who were serving at the entrance to the tent of meeting. They treated the offering of the Lord with contempt. Eli, instead of stopping his two sons, continued to let them abuse his power. Thus, Israel was defeated before the Philistines. There was a great slaughter, and the Ark of God was captured. In the course, Eli's household was destroyed. This is the reason the Bible gives for why Eli's household was destroyed. 1 Samuel 4:15. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were set so that he could not see. Eli the priest, too, lost his spiritual sight for God. He, too, had his heart governed by the damp darkness and festered with the virus of desire. He traded in his calling as a holy priest with the foolish desire of amassing wealth and fortune for his household. But ultimately, it wasn't glory and wealth that awaited his family, but wretched destruction. According to John 13:30, it was nighttime when Judas Iscariot the traitor sought out the group of high priests with the intention of selling Jesus out. Judas Iscariot's heart, too, was taken by the damp darkness and corrupted with the virus of material greed. He traded in Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. But in the end, he committed suicide by hanging himself. David is another example of how a man fell from a place of faith to the horrendous depths of crime. He committed adultery by bringing Bathsheba, wife of his general Uriah, into his palace. As a result, Bathsheba conceived a child. After attempting but failing in a plot to create an alibi to make it look like the child was not his, David ordered a faithful servant to murder Uriah. Most people think this is the extent of David's crimes, but this was not all. David was walking on the roof of his palace when he saw Bathsheba having a bath. Instead of just letting it pass by, he immediately desired her. He broke the 10th commandment, which says, "Do not covet your neighbor's wife." This is the 10th commandment, Exodus 20:17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Your neighbor's wife is the first in the list of concrete examples of what not to covet. That is how strictly God prohibited coveting a neighbor's wife, but David readily ignored this commandment. David knew Bathsheba was Uriah's wife, but he still ordered his men to bring her to his chamber. He used his power to steal someone's wife without the husband's knowledge. This is violating the 8th commandment, which is, "Do not steal." That night, David lay with Bathsheba, a violation of the 7th commandment. Do not commit adultery. With this, Bathsheba became pregnant, and David hatches a plot to make it look like the child is of her husband Uriah. This is in contempt of the 9th commandment, do not bear false witness against your neighbor. When his plot of falsehood fails, he has Uriah killed, mocking the 6th commandment, do not murder. David was the great-grandson of Ruth, a woman of faith. He was a descendant of faith, inheriting Abraham's faith through his grandfather Obed and father Jesse. David sullied his parents' and ancestors' honor by committing theft, adultery, and even murder. So he also broke the 5th commandment, honor your father and your mother. The Hebrew words for father and mother, Ab and Em, also stand for ancestors. David, although blatantly ignoring God's commandments, went to offer holy sacrifice at the house of the Lord during the Sabbath. Keeping Sabbath holy is not about putting on the appearance of holiness. It is about setting your heart apart before the holy presence of God. David's heart was filled with ugly desires, and he was putting on a disguise of holiness when keeping Sabbath holy. Thus, he was also ignoring the Lord's 4th commandment to keep Sabbath holy. The Jewish people call on God's name several times throughout the day. David, after committing horrendous crimes, called on the Lord's name whenever he had the chance. This means he was also ignoring the third commandment to not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. If someone claims to believe in God but cherishes something above God, that person is actually not a believer in God. David went to offer holy sacrifice at the house of the Lord during the Sabbath and called on the Lord's name several times a day. But he threw away God's commandments flippantly for the sake of his desires. At the time, David's own desires were his idol. By insisting on worshiping his desires as his idol, he broke both the second commandment, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image," and the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." By coveting Bathsheba as she took her bath, David ultimately broke all 10 commandments. The important thing to notice is when and how David's foolish crimes began. Second Samuel 11:2 goes, "It happened late one afternoon, when David arose from his couch and was walking on the roof of the king's house, that he saw from the roof a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful." The time was late one afternoon. The Hebrew word used here, Erev, also means night, and refers to the time of darkness after dusk has fallen. This, too, is an expression of how David's heart was taken over by the damp darkness. At that moment, David sees a woman bathing. The king's palace, David's palace, would not have been adjacent to any other residence. He could not have seen the woman clearly in the dark. It would have been hard to tell whether the woman was beautiful or not in the dark. If it was daytime, the woman probably would not have been taking a bath on her rooftop. And yet, the woman whom he could not see clearly in the darkness looked very beautiful in David's eyes. The virus of lust was corrupting David's heart, which was already governed by the damp darkness. In his state of heart, even if he saw the most unattractive woman in Israel in the dark that night, he would have used his power to lay with that woman. At the same time, the fact that David blatantly broke all 10 commandments is the natural consequence in flesh of the lust virus corrupting his heart after the damp darkness has taken over. However, David himself had no idea that his heart was being eaten away by a virus in the damp darkness. He naturally accepted darkness as darkness, but did not see darkness for what it truly is. But God did not leave poor David to remain as a slave to the depth and darkness. He sent Nathan, the prophet, to David and made him see the wrong of his ways by having Nathan deliver his words. He shone the light of his words in every corner of David's heart. And it is in that light of God's words that David finally realizes how his heart had been corrupted by a virus of the damp darkness. David thoroughly repents of his sins and offers this prayer. Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your spirit, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. A clean heart and a right spirit is only possible when standing in the light of God, who is the Holy Spirit. Afterwards, David does not repeat his sins. That is because he constantly dwelled in the light of God's words, taking care that his heart is not taken over and corrupted by the virus of the damp darkness again. And ultimately, David, through God's grace, has his name written as an ancestor in Jesus' family tree and becomes the never-falling star of Israel. This is the ninth week in which we are looking at the testimony Paul gives in his own defense at a hearing held by Governor Festus and King Agrippa's request. Paul's defense is to give testimony about the Lord. In a precise manner, Jesus called to Paul on the road to Damascus. He wasn't calling to Paul so that Paul could enjoy a good life by himself. As we saw last week, the Lord called to Paul so that Paul could serve as his huperitus and martus and help the people of the world open their eyes to God. Jesus explains the concrete significance of his words to Paul in the following verse. Acts 26:18. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. When Jesus opens the eyes of the people, he is turning them from darkness to light. Jesus is shining his light and driving away the damp darkness that once ruled the human heart. The human heart was once corrupted with the virus of the damp darkness, but Jesus' light renews the soul by creating a new heart that will never corrupt again. Before Jesus called Paul, Paul once thought it was his life mission to deny Jesus and persecute the church. That was because his heart was corrupted with the virus of damp darkness. And Jesus called this Paul into his light. He shone his light in every corner of Paul's heart and drove away the virus of damp darkness. He renewed Paul by creating a new heart in him that will never corrupt again. Paul understood the meaning of that light better than anyone. After being called by Jesus, he realized that the Jesus he had been denying was the Messiah who had died as a sacrifice on the cross to pay for his sins and rose from the dead in 3 days. The fact that Jesus rose from the dead in 3 days means that he completely overcame the power of death, which makes everything corrupt away. Jesus did not see corruption, and he will never see corruption. And because Jesus will never see corruption, his words, his life, his light will never see corruption either. And as long as Paul keeps the light of Jesus, which will never see corruption, in his heart, Paul's heart too will never corrupt again with the virus of the damp darkness. The light of Jesus, who rose from the dead in 3 days, is the light of eternal life and truth, which completely conquered the damp darkness of death. Paul, realizing this truth, embarks on a missionary journey throughout the Mediterranean world to live as Hypertus and Martus for Jesus. This is what Paul testified to the people of Antioch and Pisidia, and transcending 2,000 years of time and space, this is what Paul is saying to us who are living in the 21st century. Acts 13, 36 to 39. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up did not see corruption. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. David, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Peter, all of their flesh saw corruption and disappeared without a trace after death. All their words and actions are legacies from the past. But Jesus, who died as a sacrifice on the cross, rose from the dead in 3 days. Paul accurately describes how Jesus was raised and thus did not see corruption. The Jesus who rose from the dead in 3 days did not see corruption, so his words are alive with an ongoing force. Jesus did not see corruption, so his light can revive the human heart once corrupted by the virus of the damp darkness and make sure that the human heart will never see corruption again through the forgiveness of sins. Jesus did not see corruption, so the precious blood of Jesus on the cross shed to pay the price for the human sins can raise the unrighteous beings that are humans and raise them completely righteous. Jesus did not see corruption, so anyone who dies in him shall rise from the dead in 3 days again. This is what Jesus tells us. John 12:14. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. The Jesus who rose from the dead in 3 days and did not see corruption is with us right now in the form of light. Let us all accept the light of Jesus and accept Jesus who is light. Let us live in that light through the power of word and prayer. Only in that light will our hearts escape from the rule of the damp darkness. Only in that light will our hearts, thoughts, minds not see corruption for eternity. In that light, we will rise from the dead in 3 days. We shall rise from the dead in 3 days to live as new beings. Let us pray. Thank you for helping me realize the reason why I was unable to control my heart and why my heart moved in completely different ways to my thoughts. Thank you for shining the mirror of your word on the reality of my heart this hour. My heart had been a slave to the damp darkness. Under the rule of the damp darkness, my heart saw corruption, sometimes through the virus of material greed, the virus of lust, the virus of gluttony, and all sorts of other viruses of sin and desires. The reason this world is so dark is not because of the absence of the heat from the sun, but because my heart had been governed thus by the damp darkness. Despite all, Jesus, you did not give up on us sinners, and you came to us as light in this hour. Jesus, you completely conquered death, which corrupts everything, and rose from the dead in 3 days. Thank you for reminding us that your word, life, and light is always ongoing and eternal because you will never see corruption. Jesus, who is the light for all of us, shine your light and let it reign in our hearts. Renew us by creating in us new hearts that will never see corruption. Keep our thoughts, minds, and plans from seeing corruption by keeping them in your light. Help us to live as children of light who can overcome the damp darkness of this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.